fun, friend. So here we are back again. Thank you for letting me join you in your drive time, your jog time, your laundry time, your I'm going to lock myself in a closet so that I can think time. I know for, especially for you moms with littles, it's been a long time for me. And so my heart goes out to you, but I'm so proud of you that you step away or use resources available to you, even if you're not able to step away, because when can you? But that you do make time to take in God's word and messages on it, encouragements with it, and that you're guarding your heart against false teaching and reckless teaching and so on and so forth, and doing a good thing. So anyways, I was thinking about y'all as I came into this, and so I'm super proud to be invited into that time with you. So yesterday, I told us we were going to be going on about a 6-week journey. So here we are, day 2. And forgive me, I feel like I fumbled through my notes yesterday. So I'm going to try to do a little better on that today. But I hope we can get in a good conversation about these notes and about these things. If you have anything, please feel free. You can reach out to me privately on aheartrefined@gmail.com, or you can comment on Facebook. You can comment on Patreon. You can comment on the with the podcast, whatever. You can find me on Apple Podcast, Apple, Spotify, and Anchor. So anyways, I'm going to get that stuff out of the way before I get started. But yesterday, I finished this out with a prayer. And I want to read that prayer again to get us rolling in that same motion. So join with me. Dear God, lover of our souls, it is your character that is our guide. Lord of our lives, I praise you that you have taught us how to live in obedience to you through our emotions. Through the life of Jesus, you have shown us joy, anger, and deep torment. And you've taught us endurance and perseverance and victory in you. You've taught us forgiveness over bitterness, kindness over entitlement, and order over scatter. You have shown us how to forsake our own understanding by robing us in your loyalty, faithfulness, your wisdom, and your discretion. Our hearts are so full when we trust you, accepting that you are the only one who can calm, comfort, and complete us. And despite us, despite the way we run from you and try to find comfort in ourselves, you continually, faithfully love and lead us based on your goodness. Right there, based on your goodness. Amen. So as I mentioned yesterday, we base our reading of the scripture on how to feel good, how to live our best life. And that's not how you grow in God. That's just plain and simple. This is not how it works. But when we truly lean into the Lord, we do experience freedom from those things that have held us so deeply. And that's just a beautiful thought, isn't it? Being free from the strongholds. But it does have a requirement of us, and that's that we lean into Him properly. Now, of course, you know that prayer from yesterday. And it, though, is a prayer that's been written on my heart over the past 6 years, really. One day of learning and growing at a time is what it's been. It was one day of learning what the goodness of God really means. One day at a time of learning what that goodness really means. So as we get started on this journey using Romans 8 and many other scriptures, let's go ahead and put a formal definition on the goodness of God. I'm telling you what, my mentor taught me this, and I want to forward this to you, and you forward this to your children and your children's children. You singing the blessing with me, and you children. Please don't ask me to sing ever. But she taught me to define your words. And define the ideas, define them biblically. Don't just define them socially or in a popular way. Make sure that you're knowing the full truth, and that way you're able to discern better what you're reading. So how we can define that, we can start with scripture. Psalm 52:1, I'm going to read it in two different versions. King James is the goodness of God endures continually. Or the CSB is God's faithful love is constant. Y'all think about that. Dwell on that. His faithful love is constant, never ending. So there's part of the definition. Also, A.W. Pink, which is a well-known Christian scholar. He's old old dead guy now, but he wrote a beautiful definition of the goodness of God. It says, the goodness of God is a reference to the perfection of his nature. Nothing can be added to him to make him better. All things are good only by participation and communication with him. Now, that's not the end of the quote, but I'm going to come back and say that again because this is something worth chewing on. All things are good only by participation and communication with him. That means any bit of goodness or productivity or charitability or blah, 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 anything that comes from us, discipline, patience, kindness, gentleness, all those things, they can only be had in relationship with God. So let me finish the quote now. The creature being good is only an added super quality, but God is originally and essentially good. Not only good, but he is goodness himself. He is the highest of good. He is underived, or in other words, he doesn't come from or arise out of anything. So you think about that. There is nothing that's good about you that actually makes God gooder. I know that's not a word, y'all. That's just being funny right there. There's nothing that makes him good or makes him better. You don't have the ability to generate the goodness that is supernatural and perfect in him. We give ourselves a little too much credit there sometimes. It is he alone that is good and that then generates goodness in us when we get to know him more. 1 John 1:5, it says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. We run from darkness, ladies. We do. We hate darkness, yet somehow we don't draw towards him. The Bible says, seek me with all of your heart, and you will find me. And yet we're struggling to find him, and that should tell us. That's the definition. That verse right there is the definition of how fervently we're actually seeking him when we're not finding him. Psalm 119:68 says, you are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. So let's go back to Romans 8. And actually, before we dig into Romans 8, I want us to come to Romans 7, the end of Romans 7. Now, this is the chapter where Paul is admitting his struggle in his own flesh. He's saying, why do I do what I don't want to do? And why don't I do what I want to do? He's bringing light to that every single human being will continue to battle with their sinful, selfish nature. Well, until we surrender to him. So let's look what it says there in 7:23-25. It says, I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What a wretched man am I. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself am serving the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. Now, I don't know about you. To be honest, for me, chapter 7 is a bit of a tongue and a brain tangle. But to me, what brings clarity and order to it all is that verse right there where it says, what a wretched man am I, what a wretched girl am I, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through just Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, so I'm going to start wrapping up right there, and then we'll go into more of that tomorrow. But I can't help but say right there, this girl, this old girl, this former total excess girl, former fatty, former pillhead, former drunk, all the things that I would give myself to in excess, my God has saved me. You know, there is the scripture that says, my righteousness is as filthy rags. And I'm telling you, sisters, the moment that I embraced that, then I became free to live and run as his daughter. The weights came off my shoulders and I just changed forever. Now, of course, I still struggle with some stuff. I'm not saying I'm perfect in the matter, but I'm telling you, this is a verse to remember forever. As you look at this and you recognize you keep struggling, like, why do I still eat the way I eat? Why do I still do this, that, and the other the way I've always done it? Then you can say, what a wretched man am I? This is something that I can give to the Lord, and praise be to him who can save me from me. Glory be. Oh, if you have never looked it up, Charity Gayle song, Glory Be. And in it says, glory be to him who saved me from me. Okay, that'll be it. Again, I hope you've had a good drive time, laundry time, jog time, whatever it's been. But whatever it's been, I pray that you'll join me back tomorrow during that same time frame for you, and we can dig in a little deeper into Romans 8. God bless you, sisters. Talk to you soon. Bye.